Hare Krishna. A cold, windy, cloudy autumn day. And I have a whole series of questions from Amol Chidravar in Mumbai, who says, we say that knowledge is received from parampara, therefore it is as it is, but it appears that although we claim Madhava Sampradaya, we are not followers of Madhava. That's not correct. We are followers of Madhava. We know that Madhavendra Puri is in disciplic succession from Madhavacharya. That's a historic reality. And then from there, Ishvara Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, of course, obviously, his followers thereafter. So if we want a confirmation that the Gaudiya Sampradaya is one of the four authorized sampradayas, then it is connected to the Madhava Sampradaya. Although sometimes we hear it said that the Gaudiya Sampradaya is somewhat different or aloof, and the reason for saying that is that we should consider, is it really right to say that Krishna has to be in a sampradaya? Krishna is the source of all sampradayas, evam parampara praptam. He's the goal of the sampradayas, and to actually tie him down that he has to be in a sampradaya is, from the technical point of view, for those people who want Vedic proof, and for the Lord when he appears as a devotee, therefore, because all devotees also show their parampara credentials, so the Lord also presents his parampara credentials. But otherwise, in a higher sense, it's unfair, and not just a matter of fairness, but it's actually sort of Krishna conscious or unscientific to expect or that Krishna shows his credentials, that he belongs to some particular sampradaya, when ultimately they all come from him. They all do come from him originally. And Eko Bhagavasam, he is the beginning of everything, so he doesn't require a sampradaya. And therefore, when he appears on earth, should he again require sampradaya? Well, for the sake of people who require those credentials, yes, he'll appear in sampradaya. But technically speaking, no, not necessary. Now he wants to ask about Gaur Lila. He says, I've quoted from different scriptures, and he wants to know of reference of books of acharyas that these have been taken. A very good reference from which are acharyas take statements, for instance, direct statements. Of course, there are other indirect statements, such as Chaitanya Upanishad, where repeatedly it describes how Gaura and Lord Chaitanya is no different than Krishna. There are also, obviously, other statements as well, and the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam is supreme, but it's an indirect statement. Sometimes one may argue, well, it's an indirect statement, I want something direct, and so that is direct. Chaitanya Upanishad is direct. And but why indirect statement? And I think we'll have to come to that also later as well. Because in order not to interfere with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela and his incarnation, these statements of scripture and the acharyas prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not make direct reference to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to actually enjoy his Leela or pastime as a devotee. He says, to acharyas like Ramanuj, Madhava, Vishnu Swami talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their writings, not to my knowledge. In fact, if we follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navarib Dham Mahatmya, then the answer would be no, because Lord Chaitanya had actually instructed them not to, had actually forbidden them not to. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how all of these four Sampradaya Acharyas came to Navadvip, and when they came to Navadvip prior to Lord Chaitanya's time, they all had darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the Lord ordered them not to disclose his appearance and not to disclose his teachings for the reason that I mentioned earlier. So certainly they are in the know. just like, for instance, Madhavacharya. Madhavacharya is Vayu, or Bhim. He's certainly well aware of Krishna, and there's no argument that he's not a Krishna Bhakta or a Krishna devotee. He may not emphasize, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, that the topmost devotees are the gopis, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't know that. But for the people that he is preaching to and his followers, he emphasized a certain aspect of Krishna's pastimes, and particularly even a certain aspect of his philosophy. Therefore, he's a dualist, strict dualist, whereas we're achinta beta abed. We're both simultaneously oneness and difference, monist and simultaneous, inconceivable monism and dualism. So, the philosophy takes certain aspects of the ultimate param satyam vimahi, of the ultimate teaching of the Lord and of his pastimes, but that doesn't mean there's any particular disagreement, or that doesn't mean that we're not his followers. And in the same way, these other acharyas, they're also well versed in the science of pure devotional service, but they also preach according to time and circumstance and emphasize certain aspects of teachings or philosophy, just like, for instance, when we're preaching to people in general, what do we talk about? We talk about, you're not this body, you're a spirit soul. We emphasize certain aspect of the philosophy. Is that all there is to our philosophy? No, there's so much more. But that's an emphasis given according to time and circumstance, and according to the audience to whom we're actually talking. He asks about Balabhacharya. Did Balabhacharya accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Lord? Yes, Chaitanya, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, or at least if you accept the version of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he did. And he was a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu until there appeared to be some disagreement between them, and then Balabhacharya went his own way. He asks here, there's another sampradaya who accept Balabhacharya as an incarnation. Well, if they do, then in the same way that this devotee is asking me to provide evidences for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's going to have to provide evidences for Swami Narayan. It's not for me to disprove whether Swami Narayan is an incarnation, but it's rather for those who are vowing that he is to prove it. And until they prove it, he's not. So that's the principle, isn't it? The onus or the responsibility is on others to disprove something. First you prove that something is a fact, and sadhu-shastra guru-vakya. And then thereafter that, there can be argument about whether that proof is valid or not. However, it's interesting to note that although Balabhacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seem to have a sort of a friendly quarrel and disagreement, but Balabhacharya's son, Vitila, to whom Raghunath Das Goswami actually gave over the care of the Gopal deity, who's now worshipped as Naftri in Nathdwar. He was a worshipper of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's also narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's described there that when Gopal came and stayed at the house of Vitila, then all of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, they all came to the house and stayed at the house of Vitila for the period of a month. So they certainly had a very cordial relationship at that time. His last question is that Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal are histories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But how do we know that there's not exaggerations or inaccuracies in these books, and how is it that we can call them scripture? So why do we call it scripture? Well, why do we call the Vedas Upanishads? Why do we call it scripture? Because it comes from an infallible source. Who's that infallible source? Vyasadeva is the infallible source. It comes from a person. So Vyas speaks and writes down scripture, and therefore we accept it because he's apurusha, because he's infallible, because he's beyond making mistakes, because he's free from illusion and the tendency to cheat and these other things. So for that reason, we accept Vyasadeva's teachings. Similarly, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Lochan Das, they're also on the same platform as Vyasadeva, and so we also accept their words as to be scripture. Why? Because in the same way that the words of Vyas are Veda, because they come from the platform of perfect knowledge, from the platform of Veda, because Kaviraj Goswami, for instance, is on the same spiritual level, spiritual platform, therefore he's speaking from the same platform of Veda himself, and therefore everything that he says is also scripture. How do we know that Kaviraj Goswami, in the same way that we know that Vyasadeva is also perfect and infallible? Why? Because it's he's accepted Asita Deva Narada Vyas, because other great authorities accept Vyasadeva. Therefore, we also accept them as being infallible. Similarly, because other great Vaishnavas, also perfected souls, have accepted Kaviraj Goswami as being beyond all illusion, beyond the modes of material nature, and completely situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, we also accept them in the same way. And that's it for today. Hare Krishna.